iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
Om Bhurbhuvasvah.
And welcome to the iSpirituality Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patti, and as we continue in our special science and spirituality series right here at iGlobal Radio, we're joined by Professor Nawal Prinjah and Dr. Gaurav Prinjah, who today are going to be talking to us about gravitational waves, Panchbhuta. Now, with hindsight, we can say that virtually any field theory of gravity will predict gravitational waves, so long as it obeys the fundamental perception that such disturbance must propagate at finite velocity. Furthermore, Einstein himself didn't immediately arrive at a definitive result. So what are gravitational waves in terms of Panchbhuta? Professor Nawal Prinjah.
Hello, Tony, and thank you. This is our fourth podcast on science and spirituality. We will be talking about something very, very important. On 14th of September 2015, at around 10 minutes to 10 in the morning, a fascinating discovery was made. Two black holes, 1.3 billion years ago, had collided. The entire space vibrated, and those made ripples in space. And these ripples reached out our planet Earth at that time. The laser interferometric gravitational wave observatory, known as LIGO in short, recorded the arrival of these waves known as gravitational waves. You know, Einstein had predicted them 100 years ago, but nobody accepted it, that space is a physical element and it can change and distort.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually, because it reminds me of our last podcast with the Higgs boson and Peter Higgs, right? Somebody intelligent sat down, observed the universe, thought about how everything works, and then came up with a discovery, right? They realized something about the unobservable part of the universe and sort of said, you know, this is how I think things work. And I say unobservable because when Einstein came up with his general theory of relativity, there was no way to actually measure these gravitational waves, right? They had to build this whole observatory, as you said, 100 years later.
And, you know, Einstein's mathematics actually showed that massive accelerating objects can disrupt space-time in such a way that waves of undulating space-time would propagate in all directions at speed of light. Just like, you know, when you drop a pebble in a pond of water and you can see, you know, the waves spreading out. But the problem was that space was not considered to be a physical element like the water. In the West, Greek philosophers only talk about four physical elements: earth, air, fire, and water, not space.
I wonder if that's basically because those are the four, if you like, observable elements, right? As I said, we didn't have any way to measure space, so to speak. So I wonder if this helps describe a little bit about the difference between the drive in modern Western science and the more ancient philosophies, because right now, and it makes sense, they say, right, we need, you know, hard evidence for everything. And, you know, before we accept anything as real, we want to be able to measure it and quantify it and, you know, hold it in our hand. But space isn't something that was, you know, measurable. So the likes of Einstein, you know, all of these scientists who made these discoveries, they had that spark to look for something that's unknowable, something that, you know, we don't know. We don't even know if it exists or not, but they come up with a theory for how it works. And perhaps, you know, Einstein is a good example because along with science, he was actually a student of philosophy. And, you know, we see within ancient Hindu philosophy, Indian philosophy, it's very accepting of, you know, these unknowns. It's sort of accepting and saying there is stuff out there that we don't know, and we can't measure, but we should continue searching for it. And, you know, we then need to somehow, you know, in this philosophy, bring that into our daily lives. So how do we do that?
Yeah. So in daily life, this concept is brought through the idea of Panchabhuta, the five physical elements: earth, air, fire, water, and space. Every Hindu uses it every day. Believe me, at time of puja or havan, plants and flowers are the earth. Lamp is the fire. Chanting and the bells represent air. Believe me, if it is vacuum, if there is no air, you will not hear a sound. Water is sprinkled. And of course, the kalash, you know, the container, represents the space because it contains them all. The LIGO experiment discovered it 5 years ago. That's when the scientists said space is a physical element. Einstein predicted it 100 years ago, but it was given prime place in the Hindu Vedas as one of the five physical elements, you know, one of the Panchabhuta, thousands of years ago, because space, also known as Akasha, contains everything.
Okay, that's interesting. And just on the five physical elements, it tallies up with our five senses as well, right? So the you know, our five senses, like smell, that relates to our nose. Yeah, you know, that's our five. Our five senses have five sense organs. So smell comes from you know, it relates to the earth. That's how that's, you know, joined together. The sound, obviously, our ears. So the air, you know, being able to hear. Fire gives light, which is needed for vision, right? The process of seeing is light entering your eyeball through your pupil, so that's required. Water for taste. At the microscopic level, if your mouth is completely dry, there isn't enough surface area to taste anything. So the water is what, like, transfers you know, the taste from your food onto your tongue. And finally, your skin for touch is actually space. Because as you said, you know, space is, you're talking about a container. Well, your skin is what holds, you know, this sort of bag of bones, and in my case, a little bit extra belly fat, holds it all together. It stops it all spilling out.
Yes, absolutely. And that is why the five senses and the sense organs are put in a prime place in Hindu pujas and havans. You know, whatever you know because you had seen it, touched it, tasted it, heard it. Mm-hmm. So five senses make you what you are. And these five senses help you interact with the world around you. They leave the impressions on your mind. And then your mind talks to the soul. The soul itself can't interact with the world. Now you see how nicely science and spirituality is connected, because the spirit in you, the soul in you, uses these five senses as the medium to interact with others.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.